As always, it's so good to be with you. How are we doing, church? Beautiful morning, isn't it? Lovely morning. I think this dogwood winter's about over, don't you? I think it is. Did you know this in Kentucky? This is according to the Farmer's Almanac. In Kentucky, there's five winters in April and May. Did you know that? Yeah. Redbud winter, dogwood winter, locust winter, blackberry winter, and whippoorwill winter, or sometimes it's called britches winter. I don't know what that means. Isn't that something? So we've got two out of four whipped now. But we're right in the heat of the season of Easter, and what a joy it is. Easter doesn't stop on the Sunday day of resurrection, does it? It lasts for several days, many days, as a matter of fact, and we celebrate. And one of the things that I really like about the church and what the church does during the season of Easter is they provide us with what you might call the best of Jesus. A lot, you know, the things that really grab your heart, you know, the foundational teachings that he comes across. Like last week, what did we talk about? The Good Shepherd, didn't we? The Good Shepherd. And what is it? The Good Shepherd loves and cares for you with an everlasting love. We need to know that, don't we? Absolutely. And then today, it's about the vine and the branches. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And I bet we've heard that story a million times, haven't we? But it's so powerful. See, it's the best of the best. Well, I want us this morning to examine the story from a vine grower's perspective, with one exception, because it's so uncanny in how similar it is. Rather than grapes, I want us to use tomatoes. Tomatoes are fruit. Tomato grows on a vine, okay? And I can relate to that a lot more than grapes. There's three components to the story that you have to be aware of if you really want to capture the essence and the meaning of it. One is the vine grower, which is the Father, God the Father. The other one is the vine, which is Jesus. And then there's the branches and the fruit. Who's that? That's you, isn't it? So that's a really good combo. So what I've learned, I will say this, a lot of what I've learned about tomato growing from my daddy. And he learned it from his daddy and probably on and on down through the generations. Vine growers, what is it that a tomato grower wants? You ever thought about it? What does a tomato grower want? Well, they want tomatoes, don't they? Real complicated answer in it. Big, juicy ones. You know what a big, juicy tomato tastes like? What it looks like? Yeah. And then we like them to sort of be able to have them over the course of several weeks. You know, there's nothing like coming home at night, going out in the garden and picking a big tomato and coming in with slice that thing up and put salt on it. You all don't salt it, though, do you? But I do. I'll be honest with you. I do. I like it that way. That's the abundance, and it's luscious fruit, and it's abundant fruit. What is it that, what luscious and abundant fruit does the Father want to produce in you? That's all we're talking about here. He says you're producing fruit. What is it? It's to follow, he tells you in the last verse, to follow his Son and to find meaning and purpose in life. That's what life's about. We heard that in the other reading as well. To follow his Son and find meaning and purpose in life. Now, here's something that's very interesting about God. And you got to understand this if you really want to realize just how much he loves you and he cares for you. And it's this. The joy of the Father in you bearing fruit in your life is that he wants to give it all away. He wants to give it away. You know this, God doesn't need you. Yeah, he doesn't. Why would he need you? He doesn't, does he? He's complete. He's perfect in all ways. Well, then why does he do what he does? Why would he do that? His goodness. He loves you. That's exactly why. We need him. That's why he doesn't need us. But because of his goodness, we're able to experience the joy of the Father. What kind of fruit does he produce in your life? Two kinds of fruit. I call one's the internal fruit. Sometimes we call that the fruits of the Spirit. For instance, love, joy, peace, patience, happiness, perseverance, purity, all those kinds of, those are fruits. Anybody here not want love, more love in their life today? Can anybody in here do with a little more peace in your life today or joy? Think about that. Well, God says, I'm going to give it to you. You're connected to the vine, remember? Then there's the external fruit, and that's doing good to others. That's what Jesus said to do, isn't it? Like he's done to you, you go and do likewise. Feed the poor, help the hungry, love those who are in the prison, those who are in the hospital and the nursing home. That's the fruit. That's pretty good fruit, isn't it? Actually, it's the best fruit you can ever get, because that's what you're made for. Well, let's go back to the tomato patch. God the Father is the vine grower, and his desire is that we produce internal and external fruit. So now what we got to do is we got to look at the vine. You have to pick the right vine. Did you know that if you go to Home Depot after Mass, there's about 20 different vines you can pick, tomato vines, isn't there? Which one do I want? You know, you have to think about that. Well, God says the same thing, even though he created all of them. If you know much about tomato vines, you know there's two types of vines. I'm going to test your knowledge. There's called determinate vines and indeterminate vines. How many of you have heard that? All right, you're going to learn something today. You really are. Be honest with you, I didn't know it until yesterday either. I thought, man, I didn't know that. That's pretty, but it's cool. It really is. There's two types of vines. Which one are you? You think about it as I talk about it. One is called the determinate vine. What is that? It's a vine that is extremely predictable. It typically grows smaller fruit, and all the fruit comes in at once. Now, these kind of vines are good for canning. So you would imagine, guess what is a determinate vine? Roma tomatoes, what do? They all come in, you make spaghetti sauce, don't you? You can it. Anybody can in here? Okay, you know, all that good kind of stuff. These are bushes that they just sort of, you don't have to do a lot to them to make them yield. They're not going to yield a greater yield by what you do to them. They ain't going to do it. That is called a determinate. Some examples of that would be a Rutgers and a Marglobe. Is that the one God wants when he thinks of you? Nope. It's the indeterminate vine. What does that mean, indeterminate? You can't determine the potential. That's what it means. It has tremendous potential. Potential to grow. Potential to grow the tomatoes in size. Potential to yield a larger harvest by things that you do. That's the kind, see? And that's a big difference. An indeterminate vine is one that you just can't realize all the potential. You are full of potential. That's one of the most exciting. I wanted to tell everybody that this week, and that's my exciting thing for the day. You are full of potential. God chose you. He chose you. And he also chose beefsteak and early girl tomato vines. But you know the most popular one, it's an indeterminate. It's the better boy. Anybody ever grown any better boy tomatoes? Oh, they're good. They're big. I can remember, you can go out and when they're in season, you can go out, they're about that big. You can make a bologna sandwich. You ever done that? And when you cut a slice of that tomato, it covers the whole slice of bologna. That's how big it is. Oh, it's good. Somebody said last night, well, what about tomato sandwiches? Yeah, that's good too, isn't it? Somebody said they put peanut butter on tomatoes last night. I never heard of that one. That was a new one on me. Hey, listen, if it works, go for it. But it's a wonderful thing. And that's what God has chosen for you. You're full of potential. That's what I'm here to shout from the pulpit today. The sky isn't the limit for you. You're full of potential. You'll never, ever, as hard as you even try, experience the fullness of love, joy, and peace in your life that comes through God. It's that great. But it sure doesn't hurt trying, does it? I like that. Well, what vine are we connected to? If I wanted to go to Lowe's after Mass today, what vine would I say? I would say this. Hey, I want a Jesus vine. Where's your Jesus vines at? I want one of them. They'd look at me like I was crazy. I'd say, okay, maybe Jesus. How about this? What about the Easter vine then? Sometimes it goes by Easter vine. You know. Why is that? Why do we call it the Easter vine? Because your relationship with God has been restored. You're dead to sin. You're alive to God. You now have the power over death. Death has no hold on you anymore. And if that were not enough, when you're connected to the Easter vine, the Jesus vine, you receive God's Holy Spirit within you to empower you. See, what do you need? If you want to grow, you need nutrients, don't you? Don't you need that? You got to have nutrients. What is the greatest nutrient for your life? Jesus. Jesus is the greatest nutrient, isn't it? What did he say? You think about this. This is powerful. He said today, he said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? Do you believe it? Oh, yeah, I believe it. Well, that's something. Now, Dad was an indeterminate kind of guy. You know, he grew up in poverty. Anything that would increase yield, that's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to get. He really was able to do that. But here's the nice thing about the Jesus vine is this. You can nurture that vine. You can nurture those branches and they'll produce even more fruit. Isn't that what he said today? He said that, didn't he? And what is his main technique for helping you to bear much fruit? To have more peace, more love, more joy in your life. What is it? Pruning. Pruning, yeah. Wow. I can remember as a young man, man, I always grow tomatoes. And one year I had some beautiful ones. I mean, they were bushy. They were about that tall. There was leaves everywhere on them and interspersed with these little tomatoes inside. Oh, I was proud of them. I said, well, I'm going to go see Dad next week, so I'm going to brag on him because he was a major man. And he said, before I could talk, he says, come out here and look at my garden. You know, you're proud of your garden, aren't you? God's proud of you, isn't he? He sure is. And I looked at those vines. They were scrawny. But you know what? There were tons of tomatoes on them. So much that he had to tie them up with nets and ropes. There were so many tomatoes. You know, I didn't say anything about my tomatoes at that point. And I said, Dad, how'd you do that? Well, he says, here's how you do it. See, these kind of tomatoes, you can help reach their potential. He says, you see that branch coming off the vine? You see that little branch coming off the branch? You know what that's called? The official terminology? Sucker. That's what it's called. It's called a sucker. Dad knew that. And he says what happens is that sucker will grow. It'll get bigger on the branch, your original branch. And what it does, it takes all the nutrients off your original branch. And you know what you end up with? Little tomatoes. He said, you got to pull the suckers. Now, I'm not calling you a sucker, okay? Don't anybody say that. I'm not calling you a sucker. He said, you got to pull them off. I agree, Dad. You want to bear a lot of fruit? You want a lot of joy and love and peace in your life? Do you want to do a lot of good in this world? then let God prune the suckers off of your life. That's what he's saying today. Now, what are the suckers in our lives that sap us of our energies in order to devote ourselves to God? Well, it's really simple. You know what the suckers are? Anything that doesn't lead you to God, that's a sucker. It just saps you. And boy, we got suckers everywhere today. They just want to cling on to us, you know. I mean, you think of your time, you think of your energy, you think how you invest in this and your priorities. They're suckers if they don't lead you to God. Is there any, let me ask you this question. Now, this is a loaded question. Is there anybody in here today that wants suckers in their lives? That's going to sap you from reaching the full potential that God has planned for. I doubt it. So if that's the case, let me say this. When you are denied, when you are disappointed by things that you thought were more important than the Father, be still and let the Father prune you. Let him prune you. As a matter of fact, you really want to go the distance. Some people call this radical. I don't. I just call it mere Christianity. You want to really experience a lot of love, joy, and peace in your life? Get rid of those suckers? Here's what you do. This is what the saints taught me. Every day, you ask the Father to prune any suckers in your life. Now, when you're willing to take that step, called suckers, you know, they're not fun to get rid of. When you're willing to take that step, he'll do it. Lord, every day, get rid of the suckers in my life. I'm going to sit still and let you do that because I want your love, your joy, your peace. Well, there you have it. Great wisdom on growing tomatoes or souls. I prefer for this we'd be talking about souls. God bless all of you, and stay close to Jesus, will you?